happens to a man whose delight is in the law of God. So as someone says, it says, but his delight is in the law of God, and doth he meditate day and night. He says that that man is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaves do not wither, and who bears fruit in every season. As you are listening to this message, we believe that your life is going to be like that man planted by the rivers of water. Your leaves are forever going to bear. And we know that your season will not pass by. You will forever shine and you will forever bear fruit. We have a lot of content to share with you. So we would entreat you to subscribe to this channel, as well as like us. Hit that notification bell to receive more updates from us, because we know that whatever content here is going to set you on course at every time. It's going to make you attain whatever stature that Christ wants you to attain. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. His presence is mighty in this place. Without his presence, there is no service. You're not wasting your time soaking in the glory. In 1 minute and with one encounter, God can turn your life around. Pray in the spirit. We have come to be built. We have come to be edified. Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, we submit to you. Without your influence and without your presence, we are only wasting our time. You are that spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Today we rejoice and we celebrate victory, because Jesus is truly alive. I know he's alive. The healings show he's alive. The deliverances show that you are alive. The transformed destinies show you are alive. The peace that surpasses all understanding in the midst of storms show you are alive. Satan's desperation is proof that you are alive. Just one more minute and we'll be seated. The goodness of Jesus. The victory that we now celebrate, the basis for our confidence, the basis for our joy.
I am serving a living God. His name is Jesus Christ.
This is my confidence.
He died and rose and gave me victory. I have faith.
Let's sing it one more time without the instruments. We are serving a living God.
I am serving.
Sing it.
Not
an archangel, not a cherub, not a seraphim, the Son of the living God. This is our confidence.
He died and rose and gave me victory. I am victorious.
receive us because he is a giver. He gave us life. And Father, we thank you for the beauty and the glory of your presence. I sense in my spirit that the Lord is rolling away very strong burdens that have come from people. Now, please listen carefully. I believe with all my heart. Please help them. There are people here, you may be standing looking healthy and fine physically, but we're under the influence of all kinds of yokes. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye shalins kaba. Come unto me. Come unto me. All you that are weary, then heavy laden, and there is a promise that I will give you rest. I speak rest. Rest to your spirit. Listen, drop every challenge, whatever it is that you came here with, joblessness, sickness. Let your eyes and your attention be on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. My friend, the man on suit, look at me. There is a grace coming on you. Come, bring him out. No, not this, the man at the back. Come. Where are you from? You are from? Lift your hands. There is grace coming on you. Take that fire now. You will never be the same. In the name of Jesus Christ. Look down on his marvelous face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light. There are weak people here receiving strength in your inner man. The Lord is imparting strength. For the Bible says, if you turn aside in the day of battle, your strength is small. Don't be distracted. We'll sit down. You came to encounter his presence. Strength. Strength. Let every weakness. Let every weakness. Spiritual weakness. Weakness in prayer. Weakness in word study. Pali, pali, para, tariyata. Shalibendeketa branduskiyahas. You are in the place of strength. Strength is being imparted in your inner man. In the name of Jesus Christ. You see, listen to me. I pray that you will learn the value of the presence of Jesus. That he is more than the leader of a denomination. He is more than a man of God's message. He is more than a project called ministry. You have to understand this. He is more than what a man of God who founded a ministry comes to stand to teach or talk about. Jesus Christ is not an archangel. Jesus Christ is not a cherub. No. God is not a man. He only became a man. If he's a man, he must worship who created him. I have been in awe of the wonder, working power, and the presence of Jesus. You see, when you give him your attention, he will give you everything that men clamor for. I can tell you this. The secret to speed is to wait. When you learn to wait, you will look foolish while you wait. But when his jealousy is done upon your life will move at a frequency that will first marvel you the benefactor of that grace. 5 minutes in his presence can be equivalent to years of looking for contract. Listen to me. 10 minutes in his presence. We have allowed the devil lie to us that the presence of God
is distracting. Just hurry up and let's face the day. Moses said, do not let us depart from here if your presence. What else are we saying? What else are we teaching? I have learned the value of his presence. The presence of Jesus. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Who but him can gather such a people as this? Does a man have that ability? Do you have that intelligence? Based on what, do you have the ability to gather over 10 to 15,000 people? Who do you think you are? But the presence. If he can bring men, can't he bring resources? If he can bring men, can't he bring connectors? If he can bring men, can't he bring wealth? If he can bring men, can't he open doors? I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you.
It's all about you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I'm going to be teaching for a short time, and then I just sense that there is a grace that would be released somewhere in the course of the service to pray for the sick and to minister deliverance. We're in the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. This is Resurrection Sunday. He truly is alive. He's been alive. Listen, it's more than an Easter ceremony. There are people who are not born again who celebrate Easter. Recognizing and acknowledging the day is not where the power is. It's the revelation of what happened. I was speaking to them in Lagos this morning, and I said, the currency that was used to buy you is called Jesus. Like you use 10,000 naira to buy a cream, the Father used Jesus to purchase you. So everything that tries to devalue you, you know the worth of a thing by the amount that was used to buy it. So any lie of the devil that makes you think that because of your life you are not valuable, oh, I didn't go to school, I cannot speak English well, and you allow your sociological context to bully you, no, not in his presence. There is a confidence that comes when we understand the price that was paid. This is not some religious talk. You have to believe it. Not even the tears of Jesus moved the Father to change his mind. What sort of love is that? While Jesus was crying, the Father would have said, you've tried. Man, at least you've seen the efforts I've made. Continue by yourself. While he cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. It was not an earthly language. And the Father said, I know, Jesus. You are wondering where my attention is. Man. Man. Joshua Selman. So when sickness comes, when failure comes, there is something it is doing that you must resist and reject. Because the Father purchased you, and something of inferior value is trying to buy you back. The only thing that can buy you back is what is greater than Jesus. If you can find something more precious than his blood, then it is worth buying you back. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So I'd like you to be sensitive as I teach. There is a strong presence of Jesus in this place. And whilst the word of God is coming, be prepared to wave that sickness goodbye. Be prepared to wave that infirmity goodbye. Everything that was represented on that cross must answer to the name of Jesus Christ. If failure was represented on that cross, if weakness was represented on that cross, if limitations were represented on that cross, then it's time for it to go. Please be seated. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. We'll be very fast. That time is gone. I really want to appreciate everyone. I think I should take the time to really appreciate everyone. There are not many ministries that have the privilege of this kind of experience. As a new walk within a city, is marvelous what the Lord has done and what He is doing. And many times it's easy to thank the Lord for His grace, but ignore those who were obedient to the call. I sincerely want to appreciate everyone for the sacrifices that you make week in, week out. It's a very difficult thing managing so many people like this, but defying the limitations of the workers and focusing your attention on Jesus. Thank you for that sacrifice. The Lord bless you. The Lord increase you. One thing I can assure you of is that it will not take long when the beauty and the glory of the Spirit will be revealed in and through your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Number two, let me quickly talk. Let's just do a few housekeepings and then we'll get to the word. I want to talk about the power of testimonies. At my retreat, entering this year, the Lord had to rebuke me. I'm one person who, by my nature, I'm not a spotlight person at all. I like to just hide in the background, sit quietly, let Jesus be glorified. And because of that, I'm not sure the world has heard 1/10 of the marvelous things that God has done and is doing through this grace and this ministry. And from a sincere heart, many times we just downplay it, but the Lord cautioned me and told me the power of testimonies. More than just making people believe that a man of God is genuinely anointed, testimonies have a compelling power. They draw people to see that it is true that Jesus is alive. It is true that He heals, He saves, He delivers. Praise the Lord. So I want you to know that every week we allow people who have received testimonies all through the week to come and testify. And I want to encourage you, doesn't matter who, make sure that every time you're around the media stand, you can meet them, the PR outside, and register your testimony even all through the week. Let's know what Jesus is doing in this house and in your life. It is a major tool for the global harvest. The world must know that this profession of faith that we so boast about works, that there are proofs that validate that Jesus is alive. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And then just to quickly, while I have our attention, talk a bit about the Koinonia School of Ministry. Now, we have a school of ministry. This will be the 8th session. We've been running it for 8 years. It's been an amazing encounter where we raise students. This came as a result of a burden that was alongside a divine instruction to mentor and raise and build people, not just in ministry fivefold as we know, but it cuts across business, you know, leadership, and so on and so forth. And the campus had only been in Zaria, but now this will be the first time we're having the Abuja campus, and we're glad to know that, yes, all of the registrations and everything is already done. I want to apologize for so many who desire to be part of the School of Ministry. We had to cut down the enormous amount of students' application. We wanted just maybe 200-300 people, and we had an application of over 1,300 people. And you see, this is at least for a first set here. So please do not feel bad that you were not able to make it. Just be patient. By the grace of the living God, the next session will open up for more people. And I don't know if we are here, but there is one of the universities in Florida. We're still in talks with them. They came over trying to see how they can collaborate with the School of Ministry to upgrade our standard, and then to see how they can offer degree and diploma programs. So praise the Lord. We're still in talks with them, so that if God grants grace, this is his project. So if he grants us the grace and the permission, then we'll be able to work things out. But for now, please, this is just to be able to stress, because there are still calls coming in from several people. And then for our international community, you would notice that we limited those who would participate from around the world. The reason is, number one, because of the pandemic. Because of the pandemic. And then number two, because we want to make sure that everything we have within our care for now is manageable. So please, we apologize for those who were preparing to travel from around the world for the School of Ministry. The fourth thing I'll talk about very quickly is that there has been a growing concern over, you know, counseling several people. Usually, while in Zaria, I would have times designated to see people, but the burden was becoming too much. We had people literally from all across this nation, and then coming, sometimes I would start counseling from 10 in the morning up until 10 or 11 in the night. And we had to cut it because of some other things, you know, and so on and so forth. And I know that for many of you, it's been a burden. It is not my intention in any way to refuse access. Please, I need to state this clearly so that we do not misunderstand the things that we do. I just returned from Lagos straight to this place. So it's been an enormous demand. You know, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is also expected. So if and when we do handpick a few people, especially after the service, please do not think that is a show of favoritism and so on and so forth. I'm sure that God will give us the wisdom to be able to build a system that will allow for counseling and prayer. It is part of our mandate as ministers of the gospel to be available to those we are sent to. If we are not available to those we are sent to, we are not in ministry. Praise the Lord. Ministry is not about being exalted in a position and then being far from those you are called to, but the management systems around it, for our own health, for our own lives, we must put things in place. So please let me just clear the air over that. Praise the name of the Lord. I apologize, we have a number of guests and dignitaries. Maybe we'll just appreciate them at the end of the service so that I'll get to the word. But I really honor everyone here, politicians, businessmen, members of parliament. We honor you. Some are in front, some are scattered. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you so much, great people. My dear friend Manasseh, I see my dear friend and his wife, Pastor Jakes. God bless you. Sincerely appreciate you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Just one or two scriptures. I'm seeing people running in the spirit. Now, these things, these are supernatural things. Literally, I don't know why God does these things sometimes, but I believe that is a grace that is coming to move people into the next levels. Please, regardless the overflows, regardless wherever, I believe that that grace, people will literally begin to run. Some of them run out by the Spirit. The Lord, by it, is destroying delays of all kinds. And I want you to be sensitive. Just help them, whether you are an usher or not. Since I've seen it, let me just declare it in the name of Jesus. Father, those who must drink of this grace that makes for speed, over their life, over their destinies, Everything holding you back, everything holding you down, such an anointing is coming upon them. In the name of Jesus, the Christ of God, the same way the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, he ran and overtook the chariots of Ahab down to Jezreel. I speak speed over your life. Supernatural speed, help them please. Speed over your destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ, speed over your life. Within a short time, you will see the grace of God picking you, lifting you, bringing you honor. I decree and declare, help them please. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, and hear me, everything, every force that keeps you down, in the name that is above all names, I declare it must let you go now. Please be seated. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Just to consider a lesson tonight, and then we pray. In the end of the Sabbath, the Bible says, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord. Now watch this. He's painting for us the scene of the resurrection. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. And sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. Verse 8 says, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go, tell my brethren that they should go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Take note now. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Why? Saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Please look up. The Bible says among the many things that Satan could not stand was the resurrection. Not just the cross. You know, many times when we teach about the matters of redemption, it looks like all that we stop at is the cross. And whilst the cross is a very important component of redemption, it does not stop at the cross. If Jesus stopped at the cross, that would be fatal for us. Are we together? There is nothing new about a man dying for people. Founders have died for people. Parents have died for their children. But the nature of the death of Jesus required resurrection to truly prove the Father's love. Now listen very carefully. The Bible says when Jesus resurrected from the dead, It was such a threat to the gates of hell that they came together and took counsel and said, you know what, we will give you money. Money was introduced. Are you seeing that money has always played a role to fight the resurrection? It took money. They brought money and they said, this is what will happen. We will use our influence and secure you. Just say the disciples came and stole him. We may not do anything about the fact that he walked upon the earth and healed the sick. We may not do anything about the fact that there was a real cross at Golgotha. But that resurrection part, because there were already prophecies that if it's true that he rose from the dead, then it will give the basis for our justification. It was not his death that justified us. Let me give you a little story. The entire discourse of redemption started from what we call the Lord's Supper. Are we together now? The Bible lets us know that Jesus was with 12 of the disciples. And 12 is the prophetic number of government. Government. And so that was the whole world in covenant coming into one man. When he took of the bread and the cup and gave it to them. In theology, we call it the doctrine of interpenetration. It's the mystery by which two entities become one. It's the same principle we use in marriage. When a man and a woman become joined, even though they are separate personalities, the Bible says they have become one. Are we together now? So if Jesus were to die for the sins of the world, there had to be a technology to transfer the whole world into him. Are we together now? And that happened. The basis for that connection was the Lord's Supper. Whilst they ate the bread that Jesus said he was, they took of the wine. Now he was qualified to take on the entire sin of the whole world. The next sin would be Gethsemane. The Bible says when he got to Gethsemane, he cried. Do you know why he cried? He did not cry because he was afraid of death. No, he had been speaking about his death time and again. I will die and come back to life. He cried because something was happening in Gethsemane. The Bible says he who knew no sin became sin. That was what was happening there. He was crying because until then, mortality would not work in him. Remember, there was a time he walked through the crowd. Even though he was born of a woman, he was fathered by the Spirit. Joseph was only a caretaker. The Holy Ghost played the fatherly role of Jesus. If Jesus died and did not resurrect, his body would still be fresh on the ground. It could not be corrupted. Because it was not the seed of a mortal man. Are we together now? Now listen carefully. So when Jesus was at Gethsemane, the Bible says he cried. For the first time, he tasted the pain of humanity in its full strength. And he even said, Father, if it is possible, you are the God of all wisdom. There is still a system you can route without my going through this. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Now watch this. You have to back up and go to Genesis 3 to understand what man lost, so that you will understand what Jesus regained. When man fell, many things happened. Number one, he lost the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the life of God. He's not the career. He's the very life of God. Are we together now? Number two, man lost righteousness. The very nature of God. The nature that gives you access to the riches that are in God. Men like E.W. Kenyon would define righteousness as the ability to stand in the Father's presence without a sense of guilt, condemnation, and inferiority. It's a very powerful definition. But it's not just a consciousness. It is the nature of God at work. He lost that. Number three, man lost dominion. Understand what man lost. Sovereign control. How did man lose dominion? He lost dominion by transferring responsibility. There is a law in this kingdom that every time you don't take responsibility, you transfer your authority. Because responsibility and authority goes together. So when God came to Adam and said, Adam, where are you? What is this that you have done? Adam transferred the responsibility to his wife. You you notice God did not talk to Adam again. He said, all right, you have transferred. Do you know if the woman kept quiet, immediately she will become the head of the man? When God came, he met the person he gave sovereign authority as head. When Satan came, Satan did not meet Adam. He came through Eve. If Eve recognized authority, she would have referred Satan to Adam. But she took laws into her hands and she was deceived. When she ate of the fruit, nothing happened. When she gave the man and he ate, suddenly things began to change. Because the dominion was given to him as head over his wife. Listen carefully. I'm explaining the realities of redemption so that we will know what resurrection brought. Help that lady. Praise the name of the Lord. So he lost dominion. Adam, he complained and blamed the woman. He transferred both responsibility and authority. Woman, what is this that you have done? She said, the serpent. She transferred responsibility and authority. Serpent, what have you done? He didn't blame anybody. That's how he became the God of this world. He silenced. I own up to it that I'm a deceiver, Satan. That's why when Jesus Christ was gaining it back, he kept quiet with Pontius Pilate. Won't you talk? And he kept quiet. His silence was not weakness. It was a system of reclaiming back that dominion. There is a lesson here you need to learn. Every time you transfer responsibility, you also transfer dominion. Responsibility and dominion work together. Peripasu. You do not have dominion and then without responsibility. So for those who know their right in Christ, you must also know your responsibility in Christ. Are we blessed? So man lost the Holy Spirit. Man lost righteousness. You have to understand this. And man lost authority over creation. That key that God gave man. There was a throne that represented Adam's dominion in the realm of the spirit. When God looked, he could not see Adam seated there again. That was why he said, where are you? Adam was roaming around in the garden. But spiritually, my God, this is also a lesson. That means when God calls you, when God anoints you, there is a real throne in the realm of the spirit that signifies your ranking and your power, recognized by God, recognized by devils. Are we together now? And from that time, there was a statement that was made. The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. And Satan began to search for everybody that looked like the seed. When Eve gave birth to Cain, Satan thought Cain was the seed. So he came to Cain. Until man came, there was no possibility of spreading through reproduction. Reproduction was a concept Satan had never seen. It was only creation. It was Adam's dispensation that started the idea of spreading through reproduction. Satan did not know what God built in a woman. So he began to study and he saw a woman's stomach protruding. Then she gives birth to a child. And Satan is saying, wait a minute, something is going on here. And he thought she could only give birth once. So he came to Cain. And when he found out that a woman could give birth indefinitely, he said, there is a problem. That means this woman has the power, together with her husband, to multiply bodies that can host and carry the glory of God. Satan began to search for that seed. Everybody Satan ever attacked in scripture was in hope that he was the seed. When Moses was born, he thought that he was the seed, and he made children die because of him. Every time there was a battle for over Israel, it was because he had heard. The moment God entered a covenant with Abraham, Satan knew that the seed is within this vicinity. It has to be among the Jews. From that day, the Jews got into trouble. The lesson here is that Satan does not attack for nothing. Whether you are aware of what is on you or not, Satan studies people and handpicks them carefully. There are people who are not worth his attack. No, he will see you and pass you. Even if you call him, he will greet you, focusing on others that he's looking for. Listen to what I'm telling you. Satan does not attack men. He's attacking the word of prophecy that is able to empower those men to be part of kingdom come. Samson, Prophet Samuel, Elijah, all through. When John the Baptist came in the spirit and the power of Elijah, notice what the spirit of the Antichrist was, the question he was asking through the Pharisees, are you the one? He wanted to know the one so he would kill him. And John kept confusing them. He said, I am the voice of one crying. Then what is this? Are you the one or not? And then, listen carefully. The Bible lets us know that after 18 years of rigorous training, from age 12, we do not hear about Jesus again. The next time we hear about him, he's 30 years old. And he comes to be baptized. Baptism, you see, John was not a Baptist. John was a prophet. Baptism was, among many things, a strategy that was invented for him to identify that one. So every time he would pour water on people, he would look up, he would say, you can go. Pour water on people, look up, you say, you can go. Pour water on people, you can go. Suddenly he comes out and looks at this one and says, behold the lamb that was slain. He says, I am not worthy to untie the latchet of your shoes. And then Jesus said, suffer it to be so, that scripture will be fulfilled. He dips him in water. When he brings him out, your Bible says, and the heavens open. And God said, all right, creation, there's no hiding again. This is that beloved son, the one you have been looking for. Notice, from that day, Satan did not have any business with anyone again. Jesus became the object of attack. He began to pursue everything Jesus. The wisdom of the Father was being played. So when Jesus gave himself up at Gethsemane, there was something he was doing that Satan did not understand. The Bible calls this mystery the hidden wisdom of God. That if the princes knew, if Satan knew that his escorting Jesus to the cross was a disaster to him, he will make sure Jesus did not die. Here's the mystery. Satan did not understand that the burden of the whole world can come into one person. It was not part of, remember, even though originally he was the light bearer, he had an assignment as the custodian of the mysteries of God, but it was not everything about God he had. It was on the excellency of the light he had that he thought he could run a parallel government. So there were other aspects of God he did not know. The whole world was in Christ. He had now become the second Adam in experience. Now, there are lots of parallels. I wish I had time. I would have worked a few things. Realize something. Number one, every time Satan wants to attack Adam, he goes to Eve. Satan today is still attempting to spite God, and the person he attacks is his bride, the church. He is still attacking that Eve again. And if we make the mistake the first Eve made, remember the first Eve did not acknowledge authority. That was a mistake. So the second Eve must be like Esther. That was a mystery of the book of Esther. The Vashti made a mistake. She forgot that she was only queen because she married the king. When Esther wanted to make the whole mistake, he had Mordecai, who is the type of the Holy Spirit, advising her and said, be careful. You are about to make a mistake that will cost you your position. Do not make the mistake of the second Eve, the first Eve. She did not refer Satan to the authority that was above her. Now the bride of Christ as the second Eve, he comes to us again. He comes to propose to you, and you refer him to the authority that you are under. The Bible says, submit unto God. Then on the basis of your submission, resist the devil. You don't resist him by your own authority. It is on the strength of your submission you resist the devil, and he will flee. Are we together? So Jesus is in Gethsemane. Follow me, please. And he prayed and prayed and prayed. When he was done, what we call the exchange began to happen. That means everything that happened from that time was in exchange. My goodness, my goodness. The first thing that happened to him was the mockery that he went through. Everything that he went through was in exchange for what would now become our testimony. They mocked him and everything he went through. Then they put a crown of thorn on his head. They didn't know what they were doing. It was in exchange for the restoration of the dominion that man lost. Because the symbol of a king's dominion is his crown and his scepter. Without a crown and scepter, there is no royalty. So Jesus was receiving that crown of thorn so that our dominion be restored in experience. The Bible says they whipped him 40 stripes, save one, 39 stripes. While they whipped him and he went through all of those things and they tore his flesh. They did not understand that that body was being broken so that ours would be made whole. It's an exchange. Then they carried this 33-year-old man. I hope you know he walked down the street of Golgotha naked. The covering you see in movies is just for social reasons. He was a naked 33-year-old man in the flesh. When Jesus was on his way to Golgotha, he was an object of pain and shame. The Father looked at him, and yet for the love that he had for man, he said, Jesus, you have to go through this. Everybody mocked him while he went. At a point, he fell. Now watch this carefully. He fell because he did not have the strength to continue. He had lost blood. When he fell down right there, they called someone called Simon of Cyrene. I don't have the time. I would have taught you that that is Africa. The Bible calls him the nigger, a black man. A black man was the only continent that identified with Jesus on his way to the cross. He said, I may not mean much. They despised me, but I can help you carry the cross. That is the reason why, in all honesty, this is the continent that will stand to represent a true portrait of apostolic and prophetic Christianity. The Bible says, if we partook of his sufferings, then we must also partake of the glory that follows. This is a message for Africa, that rejected stone. When Jesus was on his way to the cross, every continent left him. But Africa said, I will not run away from you. I will go through the shame. Listen, I hope you know that if Jesus died without dying on the cross, that would be a wasted death. He had to die on the cross to be a curse, not to die on the floor, because there is a law that is written that is only on a tree when you die that you become a curse. So if he died on the floor, it would have still been a wasted project. Jesus was about to abort redemption, but for man who came and said, no, I will not let this happen. You may not have the energy, but I will take that cross. And when Jesus hung upon that cross, ladies and gentlemen, as he bled, as he cried, the Father turned his face. The Bible says he shall see the travail of his soul and he shall be satisfied. All of this was done because of you and me. God was not looking for anything for himself. You have to understand this. And then Jesus gave up the ghost, the Bible says. When he died, do you know what happened in hell? There was jubilation beyond imagination. Satan could not believe it. So life can die. The author of life. There was jubilation in hell. The saints who were in Abraham's bosom in Hades were now confused. What is happening here? I thought there was prophecy that a time is coming, redemption will come for us. Let me give you a little drama of what happened in hell. While Satan, his celebration was short-lived, all of a sudden, a stranger steps into the place of the dead. Listen, sit down, sit down. He went to hell without the Holy Ghost. He went to hell with the power that was originally given to man, in the strength of the second Adam. If he was assisted by the Holy Ghost, it would be unfair. He needed to go as man. And the Bible says Paul was given this revelation. The cohorts of hell were on him. Colossians chapter 2, you read 14, 15, 16. The Bible says the cohorts of hell were upon him, forcing him to bow. What is him bowing? Whoever you bow to, you acknowledge their authority. And since he came as the express image of God, and while he was bowing, the Bible says he shall see the travail of his soul. Do you know what that means? One of the secrets to peace is justice. Without justice, there will be no peace. So the legal claims of justice had to be met. And Jesus, humiliated by those principalities and powers, the moment there was a declaration, satisfied. The Bible says Jesus made a public show of them in hell. All these things was happening in Hades. Dislodge all these demons and went to Lucifer himself. Good to see you. Bring the key that you gave Adam. That key that he collected in the Garden of Eden. Revelation chapter 1. I am he that was dead, but now is alive and I have the keys. He did not collect the key on earth. When he collected that key, the next place he went to was to go and preach to the souls right there who were Abraham's bosom. It's in your Bible. Apostle Peter told us that he preached the gospel to them because they could not be condemned. They had not been given an opportunity to declare. They died in faith and in hope. When he preached to them, all of them said, "We've been waiting for you." And he said, "All right, let's go." And together as a team, watch this. Jesus did not resurrect alone. It was only his grave you saw. But the Bible says, graves open. Imagine that event. A similitude of the rapture. Graves began to open. Several people came out. And listen, the Bible says, when the graves opened, the people walked in Jerusalem. They saw them. And afterwards, they couldn't go to heaven because he had to be the firstborn. There was a high priestly ministry. Now he had finished his ministry as Savior, but he was not yet Lord. Listen to me, the resurrection was the basis for his coronation. The coronation is the basis for his being Lord now. When he resurrected, three things happened. One, he took his blood. There is a heavenly tabernacle that is in the similitude of the one that was instructed for Moses to build. Are we together? Where atonement would happen. And according to the Levitical law, the age of the lamb determines the validity of the atonement. So every year they had to renew. Now to end this once and for all, the ageless lamb now drained his blood and took it to that tabernacle and poured it there once and for all. The moment that happened, he finished his high priestly ministry, a coronation service, like David saw. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Please understand this. If you don't believe what I'm saying, you are not a Christian. A coronation service was held in heaven, and in that coronation service, a name was given to him. Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5 down to 10, the Bible says, "Wherefore, on account of this humility and this sacrifice, God hath so highly exalted him," verse 9, "and given him a name." A name that is above every other name. Above every other name. And then the Bible says, verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, that means the name is not Jesus. No. I know you call Jesus. You are just saying Jesus is the owner of that name that was given. The name is not Jesus. Jesus was the name he was given when he was born. There are footballers today called Jesus. That every knee should bow, of things in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. Verse 11, it says, and every tongue should confess that that Jesus, who became the Christ when the Holy Ghost came upon him, has now become Lord. That's the name. Notice the progression. Jesus, he became the Christ when the Holy Ghost came upon him. And now when he completed the sacrifice of redemption, the name is Lord. Lord means absolute owner. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord. Whoever has that name is the owner of the earth. There are four things that are there. Give us Psalm 24 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's. The fullness is the Lord's. The world and they that dwell therein, all of them, they belong to him. Now, when Jesus resurrected and that coronation service was done, he quickly came back to earth and they saw him. Isn't it amazing that the first person who saw the resurrected Christ was a woman? This is why women are gates in the realm of the spirit. The first person to see the resurrected Christ was a woman. He said, take that message, go and tell the disciples. And then Jesus made a very interesting statement. He said, all authority, by reason of resurrection, all authority has been given unto me. Matthew chapter 28 now. All authority has been given unto me. Verse 18, Matthew 28 and verse 18. All power, well, it says authority, power, but the word there is authority, that is given unto me in heaven and in earth. 19, it says, go therefore. Now, your celebration of Easter and the resurrection does not end with your awareness that you are justified. There is a mandate attached to it. Go therefore, please give it to us, verse 19, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 20, the Bible says, teaching them to observe all these things I have commanded you, and whilst you do this, be assured that I am with you, even to the end of the age. Do you know that without the resurrection, there is no Christianity? The resurrection proved the Lordship. It proved once again and finally so that Jesus Christ, give us Romans, I believe Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. The Bible talks about the implication of the resurrection, that he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So his resurrecting from the dead proved once and for all that this is the Son of God. We would have the basis to argue. Prophets perform miracles. The disciples perform miracles. But now Jesus, resurrected from the dead as the Son of the living God, the new and living way, the mediator even of the new covenant. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25 tells us one of the benefits and the significance of the resurrection. The Bible says he was delivered for our offenses and he was raised again for our justification. Being justified means being declared not guilty, that the price and the penalty has been paid. Are we together? Yes. So today, we have confidence to stand in faith. Today, we have confidence to celebrate many things. One, that there is access to become the righteousness of God, access to become partakers of his life once again. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, the Bible says, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, justification by faith, might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, to the end that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That seal of redemption. Now we have access to the Holy Spirit. And then we have access to dominion, sovereign control. Once again, we are not weak people under the situations, under the influence of situations and circumstances. Our dominion has been restored. This will remain theory until you believe this truth. What then is the gospel of salvation? Please look up. What is the gospel of salvation? Because the Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What then is the gospel of salvation? Listen carefully. The gospel of salvation is the revelation of the Father's love. The revelation of the Father's love, demonstrated in and through the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The object of that sacrifice is the entire creation, but man being his central focus. He didn't die for man alone. He died for the entire creation. He reconciled creation to himself. To the end that whoever believes his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension, that person should not perish, but now become a partaker of his life. So when we preach this glorious gospel, we are not just recruiting members to a church. Listen, there is a mandate that the whole world must know that he arose, and that today he reigns. And the Bible says the same way, it gives us a blessed hope that if Jesus rose up from the dead and death did not have power over him, that one day everybody who has died in Christ, let me bring a word of hope for you, everybody you know who left you and died in Christ, there will be a resurrection where the dead in Christ will arise, the Bible says, and we who are alive will be caught up with him in the air. There are seven pillars. One day we'll discuss it, maybe not tonight. Seven pillars of the Christian faith. Seven of them. The last of them is the blessed hope of the resurrection. Christianity is not complete if we do not believe in the resurrection, both of Jesus Christ and in the fact that one day, all together, we will experience that glorious experience. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till your work on earth is done. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till your work on earth is done. The gospel of salvation. No matter what you preach, no matter what rhema you bring, the foundation for the believer's justification is that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, left heaven, came and walked upon the earth, became sin, died and was buried. And according to the authority of scripture, the Bible says on the third day he rose again. Today he is seated in the right hand of the Father, that position of authority, still continuing his priestly ministry, making intercession for the saints. What is the intercessory ministry like? He says, Father, I've been there. I understand. I've been there. I know what it means for your temple to become a den of robbers. I flogged people. I understand. Listen to me. Jesus Christ ascended to heaven with his physical body. That is the proof that he's coming back. If Jesus Christ went to heaven without his body, he will still need another virgin. He will still need to come back and grow. He went to heaven as an adult. So every condition for his return has been met. The body for him to use when he's back is with him now. This is what gives us confidence. So when we say that Jesus is coming, we are not preaching a Christian's gospel. It is true. The man Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible lets us know that a time will come, we will hear of that loud trumpet. It says to comfort one another. Is the return of Jesus Christ is not supposed to be a scary event. No. The return of Jesus Christ is an event that we should look forward to with passion and with joy. The glorious reconnection. Someday, whether we like